fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver.
How about that? You know,
it's a cool song. I don't know if I've ever heard that.
That's
song.
Well, it was 1961, long before you were around. I was around. The reason I had that song played, I just got back from the Boundary Waters with Captain Jake Peterson, who was a Ranger in the Army, and I think and a Green Beret guy. What's the difference between a Ranger guy and a Green Beret guy?
Green Beret guys are.
Where's that funny hat?
Yep.
Yeah, there
exactly.
you go. Exactly. But I tell you what, that's big time. So it was a privilege to spend some time with Jake. And the entire crew in the Boundary Waters. And I tell you what, I think I could kick his ass. He's not a big guy.
Neither are you, buddy. You would square up to him, and he would like do one little touch on your shoulder, and you'd be like shaking on the ground
right?
or something.
Pressure point.
Yeah. Whap. It's cool to see guys who have done that for our country, and you look at them, they're just everyday people who want to serve and support us and protect us. And he's funnier now, and he likes a cocktail. That guy likes a cocktail.
Who doesn't?
Yeah, but no, Jake. So thanks for doing all you did for the United States of America, and you're still doing it in the National Guard or something, isn't he? What's he doing now?
He's doing Special Forces Reserves or Guard. He goes out to Colorado every month for it.
By the way, that's Sam Oftedal. I think you're Jake's brother-in-law or
something. Yeah, he's my brother-in-law. Yeah. Yep.
So it was fun. We had a good time. We'll talk a lot about the Boundary Waters. And what a cluster blank that was, because we had said, these guys are nuts, I'll tell you. Mark Lukey is next to us as well, and our buddy Brandon's behind the glass. And Brandon, if you got any Boundary Waters stories, feel free to chip in. But these guys, they're hardcore. We went from the Twin Cities up to Hogs Creek, someplace by Isabella, about a two-mile canoe down to Isabella, and down to Hogs, through Hogs Creek to a canoe ride, to Parent Lake, and these guys packed enough to spend a month. 3 weeks easily. 3 weeks easily. You guys are crazy.
On that note, I told Mark this. It's pretty funny. So we're packing up this morning. It wasn't the greatest weather. We could just say that for now.
Yeah.
And someone says, oh, there was two other canoes that were going to where like the mouth of this creek ready to go out. And someone's like, oh, it looks like they had the same idea. And Strew goes, yeah, but they don't have to pack up half of Andover.
It was nuts. These guys came in with a 16-gallon keg. They cooked. They had a 30-gallon drum that they cooked
pho.
You know, yeah. And
which Strew kept referring to it as the tofu bucket.
Yeah. It's called pho. It's a Hmong dinner. And one of our friends, Barry Shong, who was the guy who was there, we brought him along to cook. No, he loves to fish. I tell him he is so good. I call him the Fock King, and he's good at it. I'll tell you what, he's the king of pho. He's the king
that,
of pho.
Man.
So
I get
Fock
that,
King,
I give that by my office all the time.
Yeah, do you really?
Except for when you were describing your video, what was in it? It made me think twice a little bit.
Well, it's got tripe, which is intestines of the cow.
Yep.
Which was good.
Yep.
What else
Oxtail,
was in there? Oxtail was good.
Cow vertebrae.
Wait. What? Oxtail?
Oxtail.
Cow vertebrae.
Where do you find an ox?
So
at the end of the tail.
The Oregon Trail.
Yeah. It was a pretty funny...
Eye of Newt. It's like,
so Barry, let's just talk about Barry for 2 seconds.
Okay.
A phenomenal guy. Like, hardworking, gets along with everybody, will do anything for everybody. Just a genuinely great guy. And it's, you know... He's Hmong. His name is Barry Zhang, and you know he jokes about it and stuff. And he's pouring all this stuff into the pot.
It's crazy,
like,
yeah.
And I'm like, Barry, do you have to get all this stuff at a specialty store? And he goes, no, just any Asian store.
Yeah.
And he didn't mean it. Like, and I was like, we laughed. The whole campfire erupted. Like he was being just genuinely sweet guy. You know, just any Asian store.
Every vegetable in the world. So picture this, okay? We're gonna go up there for not even 3.5 days. All right, not even 3 days. And I swear to God, they packed everything but the kitchen sink, and we probably left the kitchen sink up there.
We left a couple things.
Holy buckets. Oh, yeah, I guess you did, yeah. But to eat like that, I mean, his brother-in-law, Matt, who's one sandwich short of a picnic basket, he's funnier than hell. He's crazy. He's the chef up there. He's the cook up there. He's got, what kind of steak did we have?
It was
wonderful.
Top serve. Wasn't that amazing? I was telling my
wonderful.
In-laws about that.
I ate it with my hand.
It was, yeah. It wasn't just because it was in the Boundary Waters. Like, it was the first night, you know, we weren't struggling or anything. It was so good.
I mean, got steaks. In the morning for breakfast, he's got eggs and sausage.
Bacon. That State Fair bacon.
Andy's State Fair bacon. You get someplace up by St. Michael's. And I'm telling you, it was as good as anything. It's like all these guys do is eat and have a cocktail. No one's fishing. They had a good time.
She was like, do you guys fish or just come up here to eat? And everyone just looked at him with a blank stare.
Huh?
All right. Breakfast is at 9 o'clock. The second breakfast is at 10:30. Lunch is at noon. You know, happy. It was crazy. I'm telling you. I'm the only guy probably can go into the Boundary Waters and work your butt off and gain like 7 pounds. But it was a lot of fun.
It was a lot different than my Boundary Waters experience with my dad, where we'd have like Tang to drink.
Well, my brother Pete was saying that, like, yeah, we normally bring like oatmeal and like a couple mixes that you mix in the fish that you catch. Like, no, we brought in eggs. We brought in everything.
Hey, Superstore bought in his oatmeal. You know that, don't you?
He did. And he ate it dry. We're eating scrambled eggs, bacon, and sausage.
Dry
and
oatmeal?
And he's eating dry oatmeal.
Are you a psychopath?
No. Yeah. I'm a health kick, man. I'm one of those guys. I'm a gluten free kind of guy. And as a matter of fact, Jamie Huff was going to be our first guest. I can't wait to tease him about this. He was on Master Chef season 10 and did really, really well. And when they had the coming out party to watch the show, whatever it was, he tells everybody gets out and says, "All right, I tell you what, everybody, nothing here is gluten free." So I'm going to tease him about that. But I had some cranberries in there and just put them in my mouth and kept on going. Life's too short. I just don't like all the big rigmarole. But if they want to cook, more power to them. But it was a lot of fun. Hey, you tell them about, his brother-in-law, Matt, is, what's his real name?
Matt Millis.
He's the guy who's in charge, has done this a million times. And he's got everything. And Sam asked him, and I asked him more than once, what should we bring? He says, nothing but your clothes, maybe your personal stuff, and your fishing gear. We leave the Twin Cities, right? We are 250 miles into our trip, and we're about 20 miles, maybe 15 miles from Hogs Creek. We're getting ready for our Boundary Waters canoe area experience, and what did Matt realize he forgot?
The paddles.
That's a true story. He pulls over in front of us in a dirt road area, and we said, "What's going on?" We thought he saw a moose.
They all got out. He hit the brakes. Yeah. There was four guys. They all got out, and we're like looking in the woods, like, "What do they see? What do they see?" Matt, head down, walks to us. We forgot the paddles.
Oh, God, it was so funny.
What'd you do?
Thankfully, there was a Johnny who lives up in Tower.
Well, I don't know if we want to be thankfully that Johnny was along for the trip, but that's for that situation, yes, Johnny was very important to us.
Solid point.
Yeah.
So so Johnny is from Tower, which wasn't too far, and he had somebody who, a friend.
And fortunately, someone had a reception. Yeah. AT&T didn't not work up there, but Verizon did. So.
And so he called someone, a friend of his, who he went to high school with her. Her husband worked in Finland, which was like about a
4,000 miles away across the ocean. Yeah. No, there's a town called Finland in northern Minnesota.
So he jumped in our truck, and Stu jumped in the other truck, and we drove. It was about an hour one way, maybe 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And he was working at a mechanic store and had six paddles.
Just in the back.
Yeah. So we had, take the back. We only had two. And he got us the six paddles and on we went.
So good old man.
You got lucky. What would you have done without that guy?
It continues.
I suggested this. All right. This is not a good sign. You guys are packing everything but, like I said, the kitchen sink. I think we should just go back to Ely, get a hotel room, and party for 2 days. Because all you guys want to do is cook dinner and breakfast and stuff. And if you want to sleep in a tent, go ahead. Let's have a good time. Now, so you guys leave, and you go back to – I rode with Sam most of the way. But he and the other guys went back to Finland to get these paddles. A good 45 minutes one way. I'm sure Sam's getting texts right now. And all of a sudden, I'm driving with Matt and whoever else is in the truck. And I'm just going to go to the landing and start taking gear, the canoes off and whatnot, all over. And we get about another 5-10 miles down the road. I said, was I supposed to bring bait? Hits the brakes. He gets on his phone. Guys, get some bait while you're there at the same time, will you? And we had no bait, no paddles.
So they called Pete, and Pete picked up, and we were just about to, like, turn and burn. And Pete's like,
"You were already there when that phone rang."
Oh, yeah, we already had the paddles. And we need bait. So thankfully, we went and got bait. And the best thing is, so we get in. What was the next thing, Matt? Or not Matt. I'm going to say we. It was a joint effort. No toilet paper.
I had toilet paper, and I didn't tell them. Screw these guys.
You did?
Oh, I had a whole bunch in my bag.
I had a Costco size of baby wipes. I didn't tell
a
you.
Whole bunch for a whole bunch for Stru is three squares.
It is three squares.
I pulled a Lukey and brought a Costco size of baby wipes.
But you can't bring baby wipes into the Boundary Waters.
I took them out. Kirsten told me how to do it. Okay, my wife said you're gonna want these. I did it.
And what did you do after you did your thing?
Well, they're disposable.
Have you unpacked yet?
That's pretty funny. Hey, Sam's getting better at this show. That's pretty funny. Then we get cooking and all that. I tell you, and Matt looks around and goes, damn it, forgot the aluminum foil. It was crazy.
You remembered oxtail, but you forgot.
And on this 16-gallon keg, he had a backup line, a backup tap, and like a couple other backup things in case the keg stopped working.
Keg was priority number
one. No paddles, no toilet paper.
No aluminum foil.
No aluminum foil.
Yeah.
No rain gear for a couple guys.
Oh, it was a mess. So anyway, we get there. The first night was okay. And trying to think of the story I was going to say. And Matt is funnier than hell. Matt is a great, great guy.
He's an awesome guy.
He's crazy. He's got some great stories. But we get up in the morning. And Matt tells me, I said, hey, well, let's go. I'm up at 6 o'clock. Mark knows I'm up at 6 o'clock every morning. If I go to bed at 9 o'clock.
We
I'm
all up. Knew you were up at 6 o'clock.
Yeah. I was going.
He was.
Get your ass out of bed,
he
you know?
Was.
But so I said to Matt, God, I can't wait to go fishing. You want to go with? Nah. What do you do up here? I just do this. He's been on the Boundary Waters the last 3 years. He's never had a fishing pole. He's just out there to have a good time and cook.
That's all right.
Always.
But man,
fun.
He could cook.
Yes, he can.
Everything we ate was very good. It was a really, really good time. We forgot the paddles. Adds to the story, right? We still got in. Today, though, was miserable.
We can talk a little bit about yesterday. We caught some fish.
We did catch some fish.
Yeah.
We had a little gentleman's bet. On what canoe would catch more fish.
And nobody paid me.
Because we...
Super stupid.
So, you, Brandon, Lukey, chime in on this.
Okay.
I want to get into this for a second. So Stru goes $5.
Break it down for us.
So $5.
For the most fish, any
for
species.
For the most fish.
In the 3 hours we were out in the water.
In the 3 hours we were out in the water. So it was my brother Pete, my wife's cousin Austin in one canoe, and then Barry and Stru in the other.
So you had three against two.
No, I wasn't in it yet. Pete geniusly said, he didn't tell us how many people, he just said boat for boat, so come in. So I went in. We caught seven fish, and we brought seven fish back. Okay? Stru's canoe caught eight fish.
Yes, we did.
I did air quotes, listeners.
We caught 12 fish. Brought
eight
back.
Okay, now it's 12. It was eight.
No, we brought eight back.
No, there was four on that stringer when you left.
Well, that's then there's the a ticket. Big northern out there that was really happy.
So they only brought four fish back. Who wins that bet?
It's but how many they fish caught.
But they caught eight. And it's Stru on the other side of the bet.
No, we caught all of that.
Lukey?
We won.
Yeah, they caught the most fish.
If I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But that's an if. Right
no,
there.
No, no, no. Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be a way to confirm.
I'm
going
to give it to him because I don't think Barry would lie.
Okay.
I don't know Barry, but Stru. Yeah. What? Don't hey, Hmong people
here,
don't lie.
Here, I'm going to give you the $5 right now, okay?
Got it. All right. So anyway, this we get up. So anyway, I'm in bed at 10 o'clock both nights. Oh, this was fun. Friday night, we go up to Ely, Minnesota and stay at Claude's place, somebody's uncle.
Austin's grandpa.
A beautiful place on Bear Island Lake. And we're the second vehicle in there, and Austin and everyone else is there. There was eight of us went to the Boundary Waters. And they're having a couple cocktails, and we're fishing off the shoreline, off the dock, and it's really a beautiful lake. Bear Island Lake, someplace by Isabella.
Honestly, it could be in a calendar.
It is
beautiful,
clear as can be. And he had a bunkhouse that slept eight people. That's where we slept, you know. As a matter of fact, when I was going to bed first, I started walking up to his house.
Does
hey, where
he
are you
rent
going?
It out normal? Who has a bunkhouse? Did he just...
So. Can I take 30 seconds to give the backstory on the bunkhouse?
Sure.
So that was the original cabin.
Okay.
And they didn't live on it when they bought the place. And then when they bought the place, they moved that bunkhouse back, or maybe it kept there, but then they built like a house. So they have a house, a bunkhouse, and then a sauna.
A sauna.
Weird.
Before I tell the story about pierogi. The sauna. No, this is kind of cool. We got a few minutes, right, Brandon, right? Before I tell the story about the sauna, I met Claude for the first time, 73 years old, and we got along well because we're about the same size, kind of. And he's funny. He loves to talk. And we asked him, how did you get here from Italy? He's born in Italy, and I don't know how it got here, but United States took him in, and his family ended up down in Rochester, Minnesota. You know, these charitable people have taken him in, and they put him, like, in a garage with no heat, him and his wife, and I don't know if any kids were involved at that time, freezing their butts out, make $2 a day for weeks and months. And finally,
for the whole family.
He went to the government, whoever it was, and said, listen, this sucks. You know, this really, really sucks. You bring us here, and we're nobody. We're trying to do what we can. They brought him up to Eveleth and met some wonderful people up in Eveleth, stayed with him for a number of years, and little by little by little, Claude did what he has done to make himself successful, and it's a beautiful place, and I'm proud of Claude.
He came over here when he was six, and then when they moved him up, it was actually a Catholic church. A priest brought him and put him with a family to kind of help him get on the feet, because they had only one set of clothes, and I don't know how long they were in Rochester, but it sounded like a long time. Yeah. Like, they were pretty much like slaves.
And at that point, the television show Seekers was not yet developed. But right. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, so it was nice meeting Claude. It was nice of him to let us stay there instead of driving from St. Paul all the way to Hogs Creek in the morning and get things going. We were only about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours away as compared to five. So we hear all about this sauna, and I turn around, and these guys are all gone. No one's on the beach. No one's fishing. And I hear a bunch of noise from inside. It looks like a garage. Open the door. There's seven naked guys in there in the sauna. I thought, you got to be kidding me. Stroop man, join in. Hey, we had a good time. But it felt uncomfortable. You know
what? It would be like a jarring, that's for sure. I mean, you open a garage, like a door to, how many was it now? Seven?
There were eight of us in there. Sam's the only one that kept his shorts on.
That's not true.
I would have.
There was nine with Claude.
Oh, that's right.
And it's a sauna.
A sauna?
Sauna.
Sauna. Yeah. We got corrected all the time. It's not sauna, it's sauna.
It is funny to see seven or eight guys sucking their stomachs in all at the same time. Yeah. Oh, but
that could have gone really bad.
It could have gone. Yeah, I felt like Borat, you know? Yeah. Borat or Shawshank Redemption, one of those two. And how about, we got a couple of minutes left, talk about now we get up this morning. I'm up at 6, and I'm blowing revelry, whatever it's called. We got to get going because we have to get back for the radio show, and it's raining like hell, and it's miserable.
It was not raining. Miserable. Like, it was horrible.
Miserable.
Some of us had service, looked up at our phones. It was like 41 degrees.
Yep. And rain and wind.
Like, super, super windy, and literally raining cats and dogs steady.
Yep. Ugh. Now, I went to bed at 10 o'clock the night before. Some of these guys sit up to like one or two, whatever it is. And the plan was, everybody pack up tonight. When we get up in the morning, we're gone. I get up in the morning, it looked like, a tornado came through. Chairs upside down, food all over the place. I thought, nobody picked anything up. We'll do it in the morning. It was a mess. Trying to get it. Now, tell them the rest of the story.
But I will say, for eight guys, it was pretty good how fast we got on.
It was, yeah.
But anyway, so yeah. Horrible, horrible downpour. Like that rain that you honestly just get a little mad about. Yeah. You know? You're just like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. That, it's cold. It's windier than heck. We have four canoes. We have eight guys. We have to pack, and we have to get onto these canoes on rocks that are angled, which rocks and water and rain are very slippery.
Yeah.
Then we get in. We fought current
the entire time. Yeah.
We did. How many miles do you think that was?
I think it's maybe three in there or something. I mean, it took us 2 hours. I don't know what that is. Going against the current.
Going against the current.
A little creek that's got switchbacks all over the place.
The turns were U-turns. They weren't. So my wife's cousin, Austin, who's been up there over 30 times, he was telling us, he said it was one of the worst canoes just because the current, you couldn't go. And he's the guy can control a canoe better than anyone I've seen. He said, this is awful.
Yep.
So Austin also didn't have a rain gear.
Yep. I think he's okay with us sharing it because it can happen to anybody. He's experienced, right?
It's a cautionary tale.
Yeah. So we're going, and I'm in Austin's canoe. I'm the 40-horse Merc in the front, you know, just giving everything I got, which is not much at this point.
And Austin's in back paddling air.
Yes. No, we purposely put bags in the back to keep it level.
There you go.
So I'm looking back at Austin. I'm like, he's shaking. He's that cold. We literally have to go through all this. We have to cross, maybe eight beaver dams? Where we have to kind
there was 11.
11 beaver dams.
And you have to kind of portage, but otherwise you have
and
to bust
your butt. And then we portaged maybe like, it was like a 15-rod portage, wasn't much. So he said, let's stop this portage. And I looked at him. He looked me in the eyes. He's shaking. I'm like, we got to get back to the truck. So him and I go. We stripped him down. I had to get my truck going and wrap them in towels. Like, and then Jake, who's the Green Beret, very experienced with medical stuff, came and wrapped him in a sleeping bag. It was scary.
I bet the sauna would have felt really
good. The sauna would have felt great.
Hey, so what, before we go to break right now, I want to say thanks to Jake and Matt and Johnny Boy and
Pete
and Barry and you. That's about it, right?
And then
who we forget?
Austin.
Thanks, everybody, for joining me on the BWCA trip. And next year, are we going again? Not a chance in hell. Be right back with Jamie Huff.
Checking in with the four outdoorsmen. Find them at mybobcountry.com under the weekend tab.
Devil's Lake Tourism invites you to the wonderful world of the outdoors. Not only is there jumbo perch, there's fantastic walleye fishing with no slot limit and 10 in possession, and there's more. Plenty of hiking trails, world-class hunting, great eateries, hotels, even a nearby casino. There is literally something for everyone who loves the outdoors. You need to find out why Devil's Lake has been rated one of the top five fisheries in the United States. Bring your fishing rod, bring your family. Devil's Lake, North Dakota.
If you happen to drive by the Bob FM studios on Sunday night, you might notice a sweet new Ram 1500 sitting in the parking lot. Yep, that baby's mine, and I got it from McKay's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Waite Park. Sam here for my friends at McKay's. Ram trucks are built for the outdoorsman like me and my family, and there's no better place to get yours than McKay's. Visit McKay's in Waite Park just west of St. Cloud or shop online at McKaysDodge.com. Even my family loves it.
We love McKay's.
If you need a Northern Minnesota family vacation, then Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park just might be it. Balsam Beach is the exclusive resort on the 2,500 pristine acres of Lake Plantagenet with not only superb fishing, but plenty of family activities as well. Water sports, camping, hiking, everything is dedicated to your family. And Patty and Clint were awarded Resorters of the Year in 2019. It's time to find out why. Balsam Beach, a wonderful place with wonderful people.
Text us to receive up to 5 marketing texts sent via automated technology to your number. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply. Membership automatically renews. Cancel anytime.
Hi, you ever heard of Beachbody On Demand? Hold on a second. Here is your free membership. I'm Carl Deichler, the CEO of Beachbody, and I just sent a free membership to another customer. And I'm giving away 10,000 free memberships a week to anyone who texts me right now to try our new Beachbody On Demand fitness and nutrition app. Just text the word JOIN to 303030 to get instant access to all $8,000 of our best-selling fitness programs, like 21 Day Fix, Insanity, P90X, T25 and Pio. These programs really work, and this is your one chance to try them for free. Just text the word JOIN to 303030. That's JOIN to 303030 right now, and I'll send you your own free membership.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $28.95 and get a $10 O'Reilly gift card after mail-in rebate. You can even order at O'ReillyAuto.com and we'll deliver it curbside. Protect your engine from sludge and wear at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the ones we trust to always be there. For the ones caring for others. For the ones who keep things going, no matter where they are. In extraordinary times, extraordinary people step up, like the ones standing guard and standing on the front lines. And the ones who are staying apart while still working together. With your efforts, we will get through this. We're grateful for all you do. Visit Grainger.com for resources that can help as you create your recovery plan. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, boss, you're the man. You tell me, what are we going to do right about now?
Let's talk for a while.
Yeah, chit-chat, man.
With ourselves or with my buddy Jamie Huff?
Well, I'm waiting on getting Jamie Huff on the line. All did right. You text him?
I did, yeah.
All right, I'll keep trying him.
As a matter of fact, hey, Brandon.
Yeah.
This is kind of my fault. Jamie Huff, the gentleman we're trying to reach right now, this is live radio, so sometimes Super screws up. Jamie has a company called Redfish Mafia. It's a guide service in South Carolina. And he was on MasterChef Season 10, which is how I found him. Really a cool guy. But he's busy, busy, busy. So we connected today. I said, I'll call you at 7:20, whatever this is, you know, in South Carolina.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And he said, do me a favor. text me or get a hold of me at 7 o'clock tonight first. Let me know, just to make sure.
To confirm.
I'm probably
going to
be taking a nap because I've been on the water since 5:30 this morning. I forgot about that. So if you don't get a hold of Jamie, there's other times. We can find something to talk about, but he's a great, great guy. Redfish Mafia out of South Carolina. Look him up. Jamie Huff, H-O-U-G-H. Lots of things he can talk about as well. But let us know if he ever comes back to you, and we'll keep on talking.
Will do.
Got some shout-outs.
Oh, hang on a second. He said, I'm up. Just called you back. So are you there, Brandon? All right. Go ahead. We got the shout-outs.
All right, let's go through some shout-outs. If you want to be on the radio on the 4 Outdoorsmen, comment on our shout-out text on our Facebook or Instagram page. Thank you for everyone that wrote in. We have quite a few, so I'm going to get through them here. Our friend Justin Zeiss says, big hello from the Zeiss family. We're on Mille Lacs. Had a great Saturday. And by the way, go on our page if you want to see some of the pictures of these fish, because usually people put fish on there too. Chad Daniel says, enjoyed the first full moon bite of summer on Pokegama Lake in Grand Rapids. Is that how you say it? Pokegama? Yeah.
Where?
John Marshall says, first virtual SATT tourney of the year. Cade Marshall and Ty Iden fished a local lake and caught 16 bass. Placed the middle of the field. Cambridge Isanti student anglers had three teams and all did well. Huge shout out to the men and women of SATT. Sorry for the long post. No problem. Ray Wells says Ottertail County Lake got some nice walleyes there. Our friend Tim Moore from out east says Cape Cod, Massachusetts. He's got a picture of some weird, ugly fish I've never seen before.
Timmy Moore, yep.
Corey Bechtold's on Mille Lacs. Bill Katz says off lake time, back on city time. Craig Rudolph Jr. says installing air conditioners. That doesn't sound very fun.
No.
John Klaustermeyer says went out with dad and nephew, 4 years old. He wanted to drive. Understandable. And Spencer Lahr says West Metro fishing with my daughter and brother Brad Lahr, and he's got a monster walleye there.
Hey, we should do some kind of a contest to see who wants to be on the show in the studio. We have a lot of fans. We're very, very blessed. A lot of listeners. It's been a lot of fun. And the people who contribute as much as they do, let's throw them all in the hat if they want to and say, who wants to be in the studio with the 4 Outdoorsmen? Tell us a few stories. And
I think that's a great idea.
And I'll sign your forehead with a Sharpie that's never been used.
Very good. Very good.
Y'all set? We got Jamie.
One minute. Let's thank our sponsors while we're talking here. I want to thank Devil's Lake Tourism. Devil's Lake's been a partner with ours since we began the show, and just great people. So much to do there. Thank you, Devil's Lake Tourism. We look forward to coming up. I think we're going to go in August.
I can't wait. We are going to go in August.
Yeah.
You got to pick the date. You're the man. You get anxiety when you try to book things out too far.
Well, there's no fair and there's no game fair, so my August is wide open,
We're going
brother.
To Devil's Lake again in August. We can't wait for that. And then we've got Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park up near Bemidji. And as a matter of fact, it's going to be fun because Clint and Patty have been friends of ours, and it's a wonderful place. We support them. They support us. And somebody from there right now, his name is Tim, we're going to call him at about 6:40 and talk about what's it all about. What's so special about Balsam Beach Resort? Looking forward to that.
And then we also got McKay's Dodge, Jeep, and Chrysler up in Waite Park. If you're looking for a vehicle, go ask for Travis. The customer service is second to none. It's the fastest experience ever purchasing a vehicle. I bought my wife a vehicle up there. So, yeah, McKay's Dodge in Waite Park.
Cool. Jamie Huff. Jamie, are you there, friend?
Good, guys. What's going on?
Did you just wake up?
Good morning.
No, I didn't just wake up. It's only a 1 hour time swing. So.
Attaboy. I tell you what, Jamie Huff, hey, thanks for taking the time because I know your life is really hectic. I know you've got a couple of kids at home. Your wife works in a hospital as a nurse, I think, something like that. And so she's been dealing with a lot of hours going through the COVID crap and whatnot. So, and you have Redfish Mafia. You are a very, very busy man. So thanks for joining us on the 4 Outdoorsmen.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, the wife is she's a physician assistant in oncology. So as y'all know, cancer never takes a break. So even during the whole COVID outbreak, she was nonstop treating her cancer patients. So,
you know, the reason I got a hold of Jamie is my wife and I are big fans of MasterChef. And
thank you.
Yeah, and all of a sudden I'm watching season 10 and I see Jamie Huff on there, not knowing at that time that he owned Redfish Mafia in South Carolina. And I was putting the two together, and all of a sudden, somehow I figured out that what you were doing, I thought, well, this would be a lot of fun. Not only because MasterChef is a lot of fun, and you did a hell of a job, and you're fun to watch, but all of a sudden, you're a big fisherman in South Carolina as well. Let's take a couple of seconds about MasterChef. I thought it was great. How many? What place did you take? And how many people tried out for that show, season 10?
So there was roughly 20,000 or so applicants for season 10. Wow. And I was lucky enough to wind up ninth out of all those applicants. So, you know, I consider myself extremely lucky. There was an extremely talented group of people. I had never really watched the show before I was on it. So, to say the least, it was all very surprising to me. And, you know, it's a great production. They, as a team and as a group, Fox puts on all the so. Great experience. I mean, I took a lot home from it. I learned a lot, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
Jamie, was this the first time you applied?
It is, actually, and I didn't think that I would even come close to making it. We happened to be at a restaurant slash bar here one night in Charleston, and somebody introduced me to a friend of theirs as a guy who likes to cook, and I guess her ex-husband had been working for some channel. It might have been Fox. I can't remember. And she forwarded me the application in an email. And about 1 o'clock in the morning, after a few libations, I got online and filled out this application and completely forgot that I filled it out.
That's funny.
Hey, I tell you what, you know, how long were you gone from home? Is this continuously run when you're going through all these steps to become the MasterChef champion? How long were you gone?
So I was actually gone for 6 weeks and 2 days.
That's a lot when you have an understanding wife and That's really, really so cool. I'll tell you what, I want to talk to you about your podcast as well, because you love cooking, obviously.
I love cooking.
You're the Chef Redneck, he calls himself. Talk about your podcast, or is that on YouTube, and what is it called?
Well, I got a YouTube channel called The Chef Redneck. It's kind of on hold right now. You know, as a lot of people are, I'm kind of working on that blue check on Instagram. I've gotten to that level, and they don't like the fact that I have an alternate personality with the Chef Redneck. So we're kind of putting that on hold for now. I do have two podcasts. I have one that's called Roasting Goats that I do with another local chef. And we pretty much bring in people that are really, really good at what they do or pioneers in their field. Hence the goat part, you know, greatest of all time. But it's kind of a double entendre because we all like to cook. And it's really funny. And it's just basically we talk about current events and stuff like that. I also have another podcast that I'm working on getting over to iTunes right now and to all the platforms, and it's going to be called The Hard Way. And basically, it's me in a nutshell. It's about my fishing business, my apparel company. It's about my chef business now. And I think most importantly, it's about my nonprofit that my wife and I have called SoutheastRelief.org, where we go during hurricanes and storms, and we rescue people, warn people when it's going to flood, et cetera, and then we go an extra step further, and we actually feed people that need to get fed after the storm.
Now, one of the things I talked about, Jamie, and again, thanks for talking to Jamie Huff. He's a Chef Redneck. He's got Redfish Mafia, his guide service down in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina. And I'm extremely interested in your philanthropy, if you want to call it that, and your nonprofit. Let's talk more about that, because I don't give a rat's butt how much money you make or how many fish you catch. What you're doing with that nonprofit is more important than anything you're doing and will be the rest of your life. Tell us more about that, would you?
Absolutely. I feel the same way, and I appreciate you saying that. Basically, during Hurricane Harvey, you know, I fished a lot of tournaments. You know, I won the national championship down on the Gulf Coast a few years ago. And over the course of the past 7 or 8 years of fishing down there, I've just gotten really close to a lot of guys, and we consider ourselves pretty much a brotherhood. And my team, called Team Redfish Mafia, it consists of six guys. And we all fished the Elite Series and IFAs and all that kind of stuff. And so when Harvey was coming along, Hurricane Harvey, you know, I didn't really know what to do, had not a clue how to go about helping. But I knew that people set stuff places during storms. You know, we deal with them on the East Coast all the time, but not to the extent that one. And the last bad one that we had was Hurricane Hugo in 1989. And I was young, and I didn't really live on the coast that was damaged at that point in time. I still lived in Nashville, Tennessee. And we moved like a couple months later. So I wasn't real up to snuff on what they were going through. So we put out something on social media, just said, hey, come and donate some stuff. We're going to send a truckload of stuff down to the Gulf Coast. And somebody asked for my Venmo account because they wanted to help that way. And I put it on that thread. And within an hour, there was like $5,000 in that Venmo account.
Wow.
And so, yeah, my wife looked at me and said, I think you got to go to Texas. And so me and another person went down there. Her name was Sally Derlight Myers. Been friends of mine for a long time, and she really wanted to go. She felt the need, and we're kind of at that point in our lives. You know, I don't have children. I've got what we call fur babies. I got a potbelly pig and two rescue dogs. And one of them, they're both laying here on the couch right now. One of them actually came back with me from Beaumont, Texas. But we went down there, two boats of us, four people, and we pulled out 180 people in 4 days from flooding houses and warned, you know, several dozen more, 100 more. So, and then we raised $32,000 and we taught some churches how to feed people for less money on the dollar, you know, more meals per dollar. And we put a roof on an orphanage. I mean, we did a lot with that money. And then, you know, we were working with another entity. I won't say their name, but we started asking people that were in that, you know, higher up in that nonprofit to share what was going on with the finances because, you know, we didn't feel like money was getting spent. I knew I had people donating a lot of money to their nonprofit during Hurricane Florence and stuff. And it just, they weren't real forthcoming with the information. I didn't feel like the public was, if I wasn't going to find out where the money was going, there's no way the general public was going to know where their donations were going. So I set out to start my own. And we make sure that, you know, we just put our profit loss up on the internet in January, put it on social media. I keep the checkbook balance on social media. Everybody knows where every dollar goes. Fast forward to Hurricane Dorian, and we wound up raising right at $190,000.
Wow.
And I actually flew down to the Bahamas on day five after the storm and instantly ran into somebody that had they knew me from here but had seen me on the show. And there was nobody there to cook for the people on the island, Elbow Key. And they put me in charge of the food service for the island. So for 13 weeks, I had at least one chef in each kitchen, both soup kitchens that we had set up on the island, and we served roughly 165,000 meals in 13 weeks.
Well, I tell you what, you're a special guy. And I tell
my
you,
gosh.
You know, and don't take it for granted to be, you know, it's you know, a lot of people talk the talk, but only a few people walk the walk, and you're one of those guys, and we thank you very much for doing so. If somebody wanted to help your organization, how do they contact you?
Well, it's multiple ways they can help. They can go to southeastrelief.org, and they can sign up to be a volunteer. It doesn't matter where you live. For instance, right now, the Gulf Coast obviously is dealing with another hurricane in Cristobal.
Yeah.
Which I, for some odd reason, I just say Crystal Ball all the time now. I've said it so many times today. But if they want to help, we need people running our dispatch, for instance, and we need people vetting the calls that we get for tickets for rescues and stuff like that. So the biggest thing, the take-home message I want people to get here is you don't have to have money and you don't have to have a bunch of time on your hands. And you don't have to be retired. You don't have to have a jacked-up truck and an airboat to help us.
Yeah.
You can help us by saying, I can give you 3 hours a day. And then in that 3 hours, we can delegate and tell you, all right, this is what we need you to do in that 3 hours. And it can be as small as I need you to tell me every phone number for every firehouse in every county on the coast of Florida. You know, so I need you to just hop online and Google those things and then put it in a spreadsheet for me.
Boy,
that way we can reach out to the EOCs and emergency operations centers and that kind of stuff. If you want to make a monetary donation, which is always, you know, we're very grateful for that because we can't do any of the stuff that we do without it. We actually wound up sending over $2.5 million worth of stuff to the Bahamas, chainsaws, generators, heavy equipment, fire truck tires, golf carts, all kind of stuff. And a lot of that was just with the networking that we've gotten accustomed to through this nonprofit. But, you know, we can't get anything anywhere without the funds. So that's always appreciated. They can go to southeastrelief.org. You can donate there via Venmo, Cash App, Apple Pay, and PayPal. And then if you want to send a check personally to me, my phone number is right there on the webpage. You could just call me on my cell phone. You know, I worried about that at first because of it being, but my phone's up everywhere anyway. So,
yeah. Well, you're a celebrity, you know, now, pal. You have to worry about that. No, I don't see how you balance your time, and I respect you for doing so. And thank you very much. If anybody wants to help at all, southeastrelief.org. Hey, we have a couple of minutes left. Let's talk about Redfish Mafia. How long have you had that business?
I started Redfish Mafia in 2009 as an apparel company, but I've been a charter captain here in Charleston since 1995.
Wow.
So this September will officially be rolling into the 25th year of being a charter captain. So technically I should be retiring soon, but honestly, man, I'm firing on all cylinders right now. I'm as busy as I've ever been. I'm as happy doing it as I've ever been. You know, I'm really getting to the point where I like to – it means more to me to be a steward of the fishery and a steward of the occupation and a steward of the sport then it means, you know, like back in the day, it just meant a lot to me to go catch big fish, yeah. or a lot of fish.
Yeah.
But now it means more to me to be a steward for the industry. So I'm focusing on that right now. We're trying to do a lot with the, you know, MasterChef being aired again this season instead of season 11 because they couldn't film it due to COVID. They're re-airing season 10. And we're trying to snowball that into a lot of other stuff with my sponsors. I'm trying to be a little more integral with regards to doing live videos on Instagram, live videos on Facebook, you know, cooking with people via FaceTime and that kind of stuff. So one of the things we're doing right now, all these restaurants are suffering hugely, not only because of COVID, but now because of the riots and stuff. And, you know, I don't want to put protesters and rioters in the same category because these
right.
are things to me.
Right.
And I want to make that clear. The rioters have doubled down on the hurt and the pain that these restaurants are feeling. So what we're doing, if anybody out there is listening and they want to do a FaceTime cook with me, they want to learn how to cook a particular thing, they can email me, call me, text me. They can go to the redfishmafia.com or redfishmafiacharters.com, or they can email me at theredfishmafia@gmail.com.
You know,
and what we'll do is you can make a donation to my nonprofit, write it off 100%, and I will forward that donation to the restaurant of your choice so that they can pay their employees.
Boy, you're a busy man. I tell you what, you got to tell the folks the main reason you know that they're running season 10 MasterChef again is because I told you I saw it because I was texting him a couple of days ago and he said, what are you talking about? I said, they're running season 10 again. It was your audition area and all that. And it's fun. So if you want to see who Jamie Huff is, go to MasterChef and on Fox, I think it is. I forget what day it is. It's a lot of fun. And then if you want to help him out, man.
On Fox, and it's in 40 different countries.
Yep. And if you want to help him out, southeastrelief.org. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. And if you want to book a charter, just hit me up at redfishmafiacharters.com.
One more question.
If you come to town, you better come fishing with me or I won't forgive you.
I'll be the hey, redfish is inland, not on the ocean, right?
Well, we fish, for instance, today, we fish the tip of we call them tip of the rocks, the jetties. In the wintertime, our big bull redfish, they go out into the ocean, you know, 12, 15, 20 miles out. But in the summertime, they come in and spawn. And we've got some of the largest redfish on the planet. The world record is 92 pounds. It was caught in North Carolina in Avon, a Corolla. And our state record is 74 pounds.
Yeah.
So we've got some really big redfish. I just filmed a show with Mark Davis, Big Water Adventures. Keep an eye out for that. It'll be on in a few months on the Outdoor Channel. But we caught a dozen fish over 30 pounds, you know, in a six-hour trip.
So yeah, I'll tell you what, Jamie, we got to let you go. But I'll tell you what, we're big shots in the Twin Cities here. And everybody that we have as guests on our show, when they invite us to go fishing, we fish for free. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah, but you know I'm not going to pay you, though, right?
Jamie Huff, take care of yourself. Thanks for doing all you do. Redfish Mafia, MasterChef, you know, I'm excited to talk with you. We're going to try to support you, spread the word. Take care, be safe, and keep on going, friend.
Guys, thank y'all so much for what you're doing. And listen, I just want to give a shout-out to everybody in the Twin Cities right now. Y'all are going through a tough time, and all I can say is that we need to love each other, hug each other, and just be one people right now.
Well said. Thank you.
Jamie Huff, take care, buddy. Talk to you later on.
Thank you, guys. Much love.
Hey, we're going to be back. Talk about Balsam Beach, and somebody's staying up there right now, I think.
And your Backwaters Fishing Adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Bob FM, home of the CD Spark Waves of Freedom giveaway. Listen for your keyword to win Monday morning at 7:50. Complete details at mybobcountry.com. Bob FM.
The team at Devil's Lake Tourism does all they can to make sure you have a great experience. More importantly, they want you to be safe. Until it's certain that the coronavirus is in check, please stay close to home and take care of your family. When the time is right, all the hunting and fishing opportunities will still be there. Everyone at Devil's Lake Tourism truly thanks you for your support. But for now, stay home and stay informed with devilslakend.com. Thanks, and be safe.
5 miles south of Bemidji is Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park, and it's all about families with 8 cabins and 30 campsites. Lake Plantagenet is the home of the Minnesota record 3-pound, 4-ounce perch, and a gill net survey with 19 walleyes per net, one of the very highest counts in the state. This place truly is a family dream.
Find out why Balsam Beach Resort was awarded Resort of the Year in 2019. You can find their 2020 brochure at balsambeachresort.com, and we thank you.
It's a calling that's kept us free. It's a place to belong. What's the calling? Being a member of the Air Force Reserve. It's doing a job that makes a difference. Serving your community and your country. It's part-time service where the impact is full-time. And the experience, education, and other benefits you receive can enhance your civilian career and your life. What's your calling? Air Force Reserve. To find out about local job opportunities with the Air Force Reserve at Minneapolis-St. Paul Air Force Reserve Station, call 800-257-1212 or go to afreserve.com. Paid for by the Minnesota Broadcasters Association, the Air Force Reserve, and this station.
TJ Associates Printing and Graphics Solutions in Ramsey is the area's premier printing and graphics company. From traditional printing of business cards, brochures, banners, invitations, and more, call on TJ Associates for your business and personal printing and graphic needs.
Northern Stacks Events in Fridley is a beautiful new event venue perfect for hosting your wedding, corporate event, or fundraiser. Northern Stacks provides a beautiful event space and makes event planning easy and fun. To plan your event, visit northernstacksevents.com.
Has your concrete floor, patio, or basement floor seen better days? The Concrete Guy is Minnesota's premier indoor and outdoor concrete coating specialist. Get beautiful concrete coating starting at $5. Learn more at ConcreteGuyMN.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, thank you very much, Brandon. Brandon's the fourth outdoorsman behind the glass. Super Stru here, Steve Strusinski. My buddy Sam is next to me. Mark Lukey is the producer, but he's the on-air personality. No, forget about the producer stuff.
Producer. Brandon's our producer.
Brandon's the big shot. So, but we're all here to help.
When we started, I had to push one button to get going, and so that made me a producer.
Yes, it did.
I could not do what Brandon does. There is no way about it.
Hey, I have to apologize to Tim Engelstad. I believe Tim is on the air. Tim, you there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Now, the only thing I'm asking, Tim, because when I called you about an hour ago or an hour and a half and said, here's what time we're going to be on, you said you could probably have Mick Gold. What kind of beer are you drinking?
Well, yeah, I'm having a little beer looking over the lake. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We're here. Tim is up. The reason I called our people from Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park up in the south of Bemidji, one of our sponsors, and we've been up there and loved it. I think it's important to have somebody else say, listen, these people are the right people. This is a place to go because nothing is better than referrals from people who have already been there. Tim, you've been going to Balsam Beach for how long?
Over 20 years now.
Why?
It just happened in the spur of the moment. My wife found Balsam Beach, and we came here, and we just loved it, and we've been coming ever since. The first time we came here, we were in a cabin. I believe it was the same cabin that you guys were in, but it was a lot different at that time.
I heard about that, yeah.
Clint has rebuilt it, but we were in the cabins for a while, and then we finally became seasonal people, and this is our happy place.
Good for you.
Hey, Tim, Sam here. I have two questions for you. Were you up there when we were up there?
I talked to you, Sam.
And did Stru ask your wife to use your dog as musky bait?
Well, yes, you did.
And she said no, but you said yes. And,
yeah.
That's funny.
And we've had a couple of musky stories in our family, so, and we don't try fish them, but we catch them when we're trolling for walleyes,
I'll tell you what, we were talking about that today, because Balsam Beach has wonderful walleyes. It is funny, like going around that sunken island thing
parade.
Is like a big parade. We caught some nice fish. But you said you had a couple of stories recently about muskies on Lake Plantagenet, 5 miles south of Bemidji. I didn't know there was muskies in there, I guess.
Oh, yeah, there's some big ones. These guys, in fact, the season opened yesterday where, you could keep them if you wanted to. And, the first muskie story that I have is, my wife and I were out fishing, and she'd had back surgery earlier in the spring, and we happened to tie into one when we were walleye fishing. And, I caught this one and had it on the line, and it was big, and you know, we just have walleye nets, not very big.
Yeah.
And this muskie cooperated enough. When she got in the net, the muskie flipped its tail, and she flung it into the boat, and she landed on the floor with the muskie right on top of her.
Oh, my Lord. She's a trooper, Pyle.
And,
yeah.
And the muskie was, like 54 inches long, you know? So it was a big fish.
Wow. That's a big muskie. And you tell the second story. Tell the second story you were talking about today.
Well, the second story was I was just fishing last Sunday with a buddy of mine from up by Hallock, Minnesota. And we were fishing walleyes again, and he tied into – he thought it was a weed. He said, "Tim, I can't move this." I said, "Just keep reeling, Raj." And he kept reeling, and pretty soon this thing jumped out of the water. And it was pitch black out, but you could see it. And I told Raj, I said, "It's a muskie." And, you know, we'd caught one last year and didn't get it in. So he was pretty excited and thought we'd have a shot at this one. And we got it up to the boat, and you could see it there. It was big. And I said, "Well, you want me to try to put it in your rubber net?" And he said, "Yeah." And so I tried to put it in there. I got it in there, and the handle started to bend. So I grabbed the hoop. And about the time that I grabbed the hoop and got it up by the gunwales, the muskie threw the hook and right through the bottom of the net he went. He cut a hole right in the bottom of the net.
Wow. Oh, my God. That's him. Hey, when you're fishing for walleyes up there, what is your go-to bait? And how often, because you've been up there a long, long time, and, boy, more power to you. I'm envious. Do you fish as much as you used to, and what is your go-to bait when you're fishing walleyes?
Well, I troll mostly just shad wraps. I use a perch color or a walleye color. Number fives or number seven shallow runners. We're usually around that sunken island. We're in 5 to 7 feet, and it just works for us. And we usually fish them at night, you know, and it's a lot of fun, you know.
So the night bite is normally better on Lake Plantagenet than the day bite, you're saying, for the most part.
Well, you know, My wife and daughter go out during the day, and they sometimes come back with more fish than we got. And they fish during the day because my wife doesn't like to fish during the night.
They're
pulling the same stuff that we are.
That's funny. It's a beautiful lake, Lake Plantagenet, at Balsam Beach Resort and RV Park, and it's I just got a cramp. We just came back. Seriously, I just got a cramp. We just came back from the Boundary Waters and canoeing for about 4 hours. And I'll be right back. Go ahead, Sam. Talk.
Tim, so I just want to thank you, first of all, for giving us a couple of those spots. We went and tried those, caught some fish. Balsam is beautiful. Obviously, you guys being up there, it was fun hanging out with you guys. If you never heard of it, go try it. It's a great place. And Strew's back, so.
I'm back. I'm back.
Is,
yeah, tell you what.
It is a great place. And, Patty and Clint do a great job. And, Patty can be a little prankster at times, too. You know, one of the first years that we were here, when you're having a campfire, you like to have a beverage or something. And before we came in, I think it was our second or third year, she left a note and said it was a non-alcoholic, you couldn't have any beverages.
Well, that's
funny. Any alcohol.
That's funny.
And I took it for real. And so she had quite a prank on Tim on that one, you know. And she was laughing because she knew I'd like to have a couple beers when I'm sitting watching the campfire. Because as you know, out of cabin number two, that's a great view over the lake.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, that's nice. You know? Tim Engelstad, he's from Thief River Falls. We go from here up north. Thief River Falls, they go south someplace to go fishing. But got to tell you what, thanks. Thanks for being there. Thanks for supporting Clint and Patty. They're wonderful people. And there again, you know, this guy's been going there for 20 years. There's reasons why. And
exactly.
It's not just the fishing. It's the people. It's the housing. It's the atmosphere and everything else. You're a pretty blessed man, and thank you very much for being part of the Four Outdoorsmen. We will support Balsam Beach. You continue to do so as well. And thanks for being on the air.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, take care of yourself. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
All
this
right.
is Yeah, you bet, buddy. It is fun. You know, and there's a lot of great places to go, and we're blessed to have an opportunity to do so. I think it's important to promote them when they are honestly deserve it, and Balsam Beach does. Yeah, yeah.
They do. Great people, and it's fun to partner with people that we enjoy being with in a great place, so... Thank you to Balsam Beach Resort. I can't wait to go back up there and try it again. Great people, great time. So,
yeah.
It's true. You should give us like a 2 to 3 minute recap on your backwoods fishing.
Oh, I forgot about it. I had a chance to fish with a guy named Jerry James. I call him the backfish Backwoods fishermen.
Backfish Redneckerman.
Yeah. We got Fa King. Yeah. We got Redneck Fishermen. We got all these guys, you know. But Jerry James, I call him the Backwoods Fisherman. I had a chance to meet him through name dropping here, Babe Winkleman, and they're really, really good friends. And I went up with him a couple of years ago with Nick Fairbanks, and he has boats back at a number of different lakes up by Grand Rapids, where the only way to get to is bust your butt. It's hard. Swamp, walk, four-wheel, whatever it's going to be. And he goes back to he just loves it. And he took Nick Fairbanks and me back there a couple of years ago, and it rained the entire day. And just to one of the lakes, it was a mess, just a mess. And he called me about a month ago. I said, listen, I'll tell you what. He said, we had such a – it didn't work last time. Let's go up again. And I paid him. I outbid everybody to go with him the first time at a fundraiser with Babe Winkleman. And this time he says, you come on up. It's all on me. So I went up with my son, not my son, Mike, Bob Krejci, a good friend of mine. And he took us back to one lake. He says, you're not going to believe. The first lake we're going to go to is all northerns. Once in a while, a big crappie. And you saw a photograph of that crappie. 15 and a half inches, that one crappie.
Wow.
15 and a half. And he said, I've caught probably, I don't know, 50 northerns, 20 pounds in this lake. And there's a good chance you're going to catch a 10-pound northern today, minimum. But you're going to be surprised when we go back there. We were about a mile through the woods. And this trip through the woods wasn't as bad as the last one. It was a mess the last time. This is not a bad trail. And not too many people go there because it's such a small lake. They think there can't be anything there. This lake is 12 acres big, max. And I bet it's closer to 10 and 12 feet deep. And for some reason, does not freeze over.
That's so crazy.
And we caught well over 100 pounds in an hour and a half of northern.
Wow.
And the biggest one was 9. Bob Krejci lost a monster. But it was just a neat, neat deal. You look at this thing, and it's like a puddle. And there's fish in it left and right. He said, you might catch a bass once in a while, but this is all northerns. And he only catch maybe 3 or 4 crappies a year, but everyone's a monster. That was a really, 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 really cool
deal. I'll tell you, they were delicious, too. You brought some back, and I fried them up for my
family. Those are the northerns, yeah. This guy knows his deal. It's fun. You know,
it's been a while. Like, northerns are really good eating. If you can get the bones out, man, I'll eat a northern any day of the week.
He said, grab onto this fish. We caught a number of 5-pounders. Grab onto this fish. It was firm as any fish you'll ever, ever feel. And the meat was white and all that. It was just, and I showed the video of him cleaning out, taking out the Y bones. He's very slick. And, of course, his buddy, I think it was Terry, says, yeah, he left a little meat on that one there. And then he cut him into 2-inch squares. He's got lots of tips about how to cook stuff best, and simpler is better. It was just wonderful. You know, it was just wonderful. So great, great experience there. Then we went crappie fishing. Of course, I'm not a great panfish guy. I've never have been a great panfish guy because I had never fished panfish. My old man was always walleyes on Lake Vermilion, and that's it. You got a little Joe spinner on your rod and reel for 15 years. That's it. One of those things, you know. So Bob Krejci is a great pan fisherman. Jerry James is a great pan fisherman. He said, we're going to go sight fishing now. And we went to another lake, and the water was really, really clear. And he knew somebody. This is a public lake, public access. He knew somebody, that Terry, who had a pontoon on that lake, and this guy took us out. And we went into 3, maybe 4 feet of water max, and the water was so clear. And these guys were pitching jigs and little, you know, not even wax worms. I don't even know what we had.
Fuzzy grubs?
Might have been fuzzy grubs. What the hell do you know about a fuzzy grub?
A lot.
I don't even think they had bait on. But it was so, because you could see the crappie swimming underwater, and you could see the crappie come up to the bait. And I had a couple of videos as well, and these guys can almost anticipate the bite, boom, and watch that fish underwater. It was just like being in an aquarium. It was a thrill for me to be there. I didn't catch one. They cut them all, and it was fun. Go ahead, Sam.
I was just telling you 1 minute.
Oh, 1 minute? I thought you were saying hi. So anyway, so thanks to Jerry James, and he's a great, great guy. And I want to get back up there, and he keeps, yeah. So I played a trick kind of on Jerry. I left a little money on the seat of his old pickup truck there, whatever it is, and said, thanks a lot. He texted me or called me back and said, listen, later on that day, whoop, later on that, the reason I went, whoop, my microphone went down. He texted me and said, if I got to come down there and kick your butt and give you this money back, I'm going to do it. I said, well, maybe I'll just come back up there and pick it up. And so I just can't wait. He's a really nice guy.
Mark and I are very excited.
Yeah, we're ready.
We can't all fit on one four-wheeler, man. You guys are big people. You got to get your own four-wheeler, right?
I'll carry you. Mark can go on the four-wheeler. Yeah,
okay. You guys should just portage.
We'll get that little baby
A baby Bjorn.
Yeah, baby Bjorn.
Yeah, I just talked to Jerry James about that, but he's a great guy. And he likes to laugh. He's funny. And
then he'll love us.
Yeah. Oh, he'll have fun. He's to donate that much time the entire day to us.
That is cool.
Just because he's a nice guy. And I love this, me personally. I'd much rather do that than go someplace on a big body of water. I like the anticipation, the excitement of the thoughts of what's there. You know, it's
for
and,
sure.
And he actually came through in the clutch. Hey, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen, everybody. We've got Jamie Huff and Tim Engelstead from up at Balsam Beach Resort. And it's been a lot of fun. We'll be on next week as well. Sam, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
And Mark, you got something to say, don't you?
Get outside and make some memories.
Oh, I love that.